The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. And if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And let's see, the broadcast is going and everything is good for sound because Charlie's in the room going, making crazy noises. Yeah, it's good. It's all good. And so anyway, I hope everybody can hear me in the room if you can. Oh, it's muffled audio. Oh, I know what I got to do. One quick thing, which is flip this switch right there. And now it's done. All right. Yeah, I think I got it together. And then what happens? I'm showing up my own stupidity. I've done this how many years? And sometimes I still forget to turn one switch. There you go. All right. So if you want to give me a call, five open lines, 877-207-2276. Whoa, yeah, okay. Now, tomorrow night, I have a debate with a very well-known Muslim apologist named Dr. Shabir Ali. He's debated a lot of people. He is good at what he does. And we're going to be debating, is God one person or three divine persons? And, of course, I'm going to be teaching the doctrine of the Trinity. And hopefully, it'll go well. I'm not worried. And I know the doctrine of the Trinity well. And I've researched some of his arguments and stuff like that. And some bad logic approaches he uses. And I'll expose those. But you might want to pray for me during that as well. And for that. And also pray for him that the Lord would grant him repentance to come to the knowledge of the truth. He is, unfortunately, stuck in the lie of Islam, and if and when he dies in it, then he will face eternal damnation. It's not something I desire, not something I want for anybody, but this is something that is awaiting him and others who have rejected the true living God. All right. There's a lot of points I could bring up. That would be good for our discussion. We'll see what happens. Hey, folks, I'm waiting for you to give me a call, 877-207-2276. And I'm just going to give you guys a heads up. I won't be on YouTube, Carm Videos YouTube, probably ever anymore. I've got two strikes against me from YouTube, and that's because a loving atheist who told me in an email that I should stick with religion and leave science to others and don't talk about COVID. And not, he doesn't want me to talk about it. And I'm not supposed to give my opinions, apparently. And so he's telling me what I should and should not talk about on the air, which is really interesting. So, like, whatever, dude. And so I continue to speak, and now YouTube's giving me two strikes. A third strike means my account will be shut down. I'm not allowed to even post or stream on my YouTube account, which has 21,000 followers, until January 3rd. How about that? Isn't that fair? Isn't that loving? You know, it's just so tolerant of the left and the atheists, you know. And he says I'm getting misinformation. When I ask him what misinformation, he doesn't seem to really have any documentation for why it's misinformation and so stuff like that. But hey, I've faced the intolerant before and those who want to persecute the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's something for theological interest for people. Is the subject of COVID vaccinations under the purview of Christian theology? And the answer is yes. You see, Jesus is Lord of all. We do not consider his lordship in things only for Sunday morning in a particular location in a city behind church building doors. No, Jesus is Lord of all of our lives and our bodies as well, and what we put into our bodies and what we take out of our bodies. And so he has that lordship. And as people in this world work against the lordship of Jesus Christ by aborting babies, by demanding what we put into our bodies in an authoritarian regime. Well, the lordship of Jesus Christ is not decreased because of that. And we are obligated as Christians to subject everything to the lordship of Jesus Christ. This means medicine, means politics, means everything. So let me just tell you, if you think Christians are supposed to be outside of politics, you are gravely mistaken. That is not a biblical position. In fact, if you go to CARM, CARM.org, you can discover, the section called government. You go to the secular movements area on the left-hand side of the menu, in the government, and you can look up the biblical form of government, which is, believe it or not, a republic with a hint of democracy and representation, and not socialism and not communism. We have private property rights, the right to do with our property as we desire, privacy, and various things which are taught in Scripture, which the founding fathers of this country wove into the fabric and the culture of America, even before the Constitution was written. So a lot of Christians have mistakenly bought into the idea that Christians are not supposed to be involved in politics. Yes, you are supposed to be involved in politics and education and theater and the news media. You're supposed to be. It's easier, however, to hide behind the church doors on Sunday morning and then go to a restaurant afterwards and be fed. It's not easy to pick up your cross daily, follow after Christ, and to go out and speak for the Lord Jesus Christ and witness. And someone says, how about freedom of speech? Yes, Eli, we are allowed to have freedom of speech in Scriptures, but we're not allowed to blaspheme the Lord God. We are allowed to freely speak, and God lets people do that. It's what we are to do, and we are to have freedom of speech. But the leftists, the wannabe commies, don't want freedom of speech. They want their agenda to be promoted. They don't want freedom for everybody. They want freedom for themselves. And since they think they know better than us, they are going to tell us what we can and cannot do, what we can speak of and what we cannot speak of. This is the way of the totalitarians. This is the way of the authoritarians. This is the way of the intolerant, the biggest of fascists. And that's just how it is. We Christians are obligated to stand up against that in a peaceful and loving way, and to be informed about medicines, masks, vaccinations, political candidates, the issue of homosexuality, abortion, etc. If you, as a Christian, have had no problems in the world because of your Christian position, then I'm going to ask a question. Are you really a Christian? If you get along with the world fine because you leave Christianity to itself, and the world and your friends who are unbelievers don't have any problem with you at all, then I'm going to ask you a question. Are you really a Christian? So you see, the truth that offends nobody is not the truth of the Bible. It's not to say that we are supposed to offend people or that we desire to. It's just that we're supposed to please God before man. And to do that means that there will be occasions when the unbelievers will not like the truth that we speak, but it must be spoken. They are intolerant, and we are too. We should not tolerate blasphemy against God. We should not tolerate the killing of the unborn. We should not tolerate government promotion of homosexuality and the ungodly practices associated with it. We should not support that. We should stand against it. That's our calling as Christians. And how we do that will take different forms at different times. But if you never do any of it, that's a problem. We're called to walk in the light, not skip and relax in the darkness. All right, let's get on the phones with Alex from Orlando, Florida. Alex, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How's it
going?
I spoke to Andrew Rappaport last night, and he's like, why are you going on Matt's Flick show? You don't even come on mine.
You call him up and say that I said he's a loser. and that I bought him the last meal, the bot. I'm the one who won that one, and you can tell him that, so it'll be good.
Oh, I brought that up last time.
You did bring it up? Yeah?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I got him good, finally. After him outsmarting me for years. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that was good. Sorry about the YouTube ban, man. Those crazy commies, man.
I know. Hey, the atheists got to tell me what to do and think and what not to do and think. That's just how it works. You know how tolerant they are, you know? He's going to decide.
Yeah,
he's going to decide what I can do and what I can't do. Yeah, good stuff.
Well, you're giving them the gospel, you know? You're giving them the gospel. They want to attack all the messengers of the gospel.
So that's true. Yeah, I just speak the truth of God's word, and people don't like it, and... Oh, well, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So what do you got, buddy?
So my question. So divisiveness when it comes to the Bible, how would you define it? How would you see it in practice according to the scriptures? What are your thoughts on that?
So what do you mean by divisiveness?
Like just being divisive, I don't know, in a church context, maybe... Sometimes I've heard that people take it like, you know, you're talking about
not be quarrelsome.
A church, or you're trying to, kind of quarrelsome. Yeah.
Well, we're not to be quarrelsome. We are to be as polite as possible, and yet speak the truth in love. Now, the interesting verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 11:19, says, "For there must be factions or divisions among you, so that the approved may become evident among you." And it's an interesting verse. So division is not unbiblical. Okay, so we divide, well, for example, we divide against the ungodly. And we don't want to hurt them, and we don't want to harm them. But we want to divide ourselves and not be associated with ungodliness. So that's there. And inside the church, this is to happen as well. If someone were to be lackadaisical in his walk, we have the obligation and the freedom as Christians to be able to lovingly point that out at the right time. So that's what we're to do. But you're talking about contentious divisions in the body. Yeah, that's to be avoided.
Okay, and then so say someone's in the church and they're bringing up concern to other members. How would that be done in a biblical manner? Maybe concerned about the pastors or the way the church is. How would you see that done, honoring to God, honorable to
God? Matthew 18 says you go to the one first that you have a problem with. So if you have a problem with the elders, with the pastors preaching, go to the pastor. And if it continues to get bad, then you go to the elders, and then you take it to others. So it's the person generally first, okay, and if you're able to, and then the elders of the body of Christ and then the church. So let's just say a preacher is preaching moralism, which I've experienced the last two, not last, well, let's just say most of the sermons I ever hear are moralistic, okay, on a regular basis. And what that means is they say, you know, be good, this is what the Word of God says, and be good because being good is good. And so you could preach the same thing in a Mormon church or Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall or whatever. And if that's the case, that you can preach this exact same sermon, the exact same words, and that they wouldn't be offended, then that's a problem. Now, it's not to say that one sermon here or there might fit that category, but if it's habitual, that's a problem. And if we get back to the break, I'll tell you more about it. Okay, hold on.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Hey, folks, please stay tuned. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We have three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. Alex, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, so I was talking about moralism, for example. You know, you can bring it up to the pastor. Well, I went to a church a while back, just within the past few weeks, I'll be generic, and I heard a sermon, and it was pure moralism. And it would the person of Jesus was casually mentioned, but The issue is that the reason that we do what we do is because Christ has bought us, that he died for us. Every sermon dealing with the Old Testament must ultimately point to that. If it's not grounded in that, then therefore we have a moralistic sermon. And so the issue is we are bought with the blood of Christ, Acts 20:28. We're no longer our own, but we are douloi, or slaves, bond slaves of God, 1 Corinthians 1:1 and 2. And so because of this, we're to serve our Lord. And everything in the Old Testament points ahead to Scripture, as Jesus says in Luke 5:29. I got so many verses in my head I can remember now. Even though I've said that one thousands of times. And so we have to remember that, let me get this, 5:39, yeah, that's right. Got so many verses in my head. Okay, so the thing is that if you go to the pastor and say, look, you're not preaching Christ. You're preaching just be good because being good is good, or you know, love God because loving God is what you're supposed to do. And let's just say he doesn't respond to that, that he continues to preach moralism, the sermons that can be preached word for word in a Mormon church or in a Jehovah's Witness church. Well, then that's a problem. Then you go to the elders. And the elders need to be wise enough to be able to point him out and say, hey, you know, that's correct. You know, you're not preaching Christ and him crucified. And so that's the issue. And if they don't do it, then, you know, the issue is, are you then justified to go to the body of Christ and say, you know, we don't have a proper presentation of the gospel, and the word of God is Christ's centrality. So these are things that we need to deal with. And, okay?
There's time for one quick thought?
Sure.
Can you go to Titus 3:9 through 11? I've heard that used for causing divisiveness or problems in the church or in the body. Yeah. What is your take on those scriptures?
Well,
and what would you say they mean?
Now, what it says here is avoid foolish controversies, genealogy, strife, and disputes about the law, for they're unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted, is sinning, and is self-condemned. If you go in and say to the pastor, you know, you're not preaching Christ and him crucified, that's not a dispute about the law. It's not causing strife. But if you're saying, look, you shouldn't be wearing red ties, and then you go to the whole, everybody, he's wearing red ties, it shouldn't be done, that's causing a dispute and causing strife. It's not biblically set. So strife can be when it's not biblically minded and not biblically generated. Strife occurs over where to put the piano, what kind of carpet to have. Do we stand up or sit down during it?
So that could come from like a legalistic tendency, maybe.
Yes, yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, people don't, you know, we Christians have got a lot of problems. We have problems. And
say it again. Say it again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got lots of problems. In fact, we fall on our strengths as well as our weaknesses. And one of the problems I have is when I go to a church now, this has been like this for years, that I really examine the sermon and I'll listen for Greek exposition or Hebrew exposition or logical necessity or exegetical consistency, Christocentricity. I listen for various aspects. It's just what I do. And, you know, I a lot of times I just get bored. Now, that's me. I'm unusual. My wife, you know, gets a lot more out of sermons than I do. And I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not saying I'm better. It's just, you know, when you do this and you know, I know what that text is. You know, it's like, come on, give me something new. It's kind of hard to find that. So now I have an attitude that I have to be more humble about. And so we fall on our strengths as well as our weaknesses, and we have to keep them in check. So we've got to be careful we don't cause strife and cause problems where it just don't need to be, because maybe the problem lies within ourselves and not with someone else. It's something we've got to examine. Okay?
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, hey, man, I appreciate your time, and I'll get back on that StreamYard soon. And appreciate the show, brother. You know, keep up the good work. Fight the commies.
Yes, I'm fighting the commies. And the socialists. And I do pray for Biden and Harris socialists. And Pelosi. But I also pray that, Lord, we're getting, is it not true, Lord, that we're getting the leadership that we deserve? And God often in history, because as people fail to do his will, he sends oppressors in. so that they finally look up to God and they cry out to God. Then he delivers them. So it looks like he's allowing the oppressors to do their thing, to be oppressive. It's happening.
All right, well, God bless, brother. Thanks for answering the question.
All right, buddy. God bless. All right. Well, that was Alex from Orlando, Florida. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Four open lines. Give me a call. Alberto, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, good evening, Matt Slick. Yeah, good evening. Do you think about sinners when they are behaving good, being a good parent, obeying the law of the land, and, you know, be obedient, good worker, employee in the job? Ain't they violating God's word? God's word, they said they're supposed to be wicked and evil, wicked doers.
No.
And they're supposed to be, you know, not doing their own thing in the flesh and all that. So aren't they violating God's word by being good citizens?
By not being good citizens?
By being good citizens. By being good citizens.
No, we're told to obey the law. No, we're told, you know, to be subject to the leaders above us. You know, Romans 13 talks about this. And we're supposed to provide. We're supposed to provide for our families. We're supposed to be obedient, you know, to those laws. Until those laws and the government moves against Scripture, then we're no longer obligated to comply. But just because they do these things and they try and live good lives doesn't mean that they're in their arrogance saying that they're good people. At least, hopefully, they're not saying that. And when it says that no one does good and no one is good, then it's just talking about the ultimate status of human nature. And that's the case, that no one ultimately is. Okay?
Yeah, but when we read all these things, you say, I don't obey the law of the land and all that, we're talking to Christians, not to these wicked, ungodly, wicked sinners. They're wicked sinners. They don't read the Bible. You know, they don't know about the Bible.
But unbelievers, they're doing what they can do. On a human level, they can be considered good, but on the ultimate and the divine level, of course, they're not. So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right?
Mm-hmm. All right, but sometimes people look at them, they, you know, like, they think they're so, you know, oh, they're such a wonderful person. You know, look at that. They're doing good deeds in the community. They're raising charity money for organizations, and they're doing all these great things for society.
Well, they're just using humanist ideology and judging themselves that way. Okay, brother, when do you get going? All right,
okay,
there's a break, buddy.
You.
All right, man, God bless. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome back to the show, everyone. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's see, Lisa from Wyoming. Lisa, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt Slick. How are you?
I'm fine, by God's grace. So what do you got?
I just got a question. I was reading in Revelations. I kind of wanted to know if you could elaborate on Revelations 2, verse 9, about the synagogue of Satan. Because it mentions it there, and then it mentions it in chapter 3, verse 9, too, as well. I was just wondering if you could elaborate on those.
It looks like it's probably the Jewish synagogue and the movement of the Jews probably is what it's dealing with there in the synagogue of Satan, because they are the ones who are rejecting the true and living God and working against the Christians. So this is the Church of Smyrna, and I've been there. I've been to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis. It's a lot of fun. But that looks like what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's all I needed to know.
Okay. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You too. God bless.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. All right, three open lines, 877 207 2276. Let's get to Sarah from North Carolina. Sarah, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Hi. I just have a question about, for those of us that are immune compromised, like my doctor the other day recommended that if I ended up getting COVID, that he would send me to get the monoclonal antibodies. And I'm not finding much information regarding, you know, what's in it or the ethical. You know, I guess I'm just struggling with, you know, what are they going to put in my body, you know, from an ethical and moral standpoint, because I don't, you know, I can't get the COVID shot, which, you know, I don't want to get that anyway, but I don't agree with what's in the, you know, what ingredients are in it and how they, how they make it. But, you know, I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to figure out what is this monoclonal antibody? I don't know if you know, but, you know, there's not much information out there.
No, I haven't studied it very much at all because I've been prepping for debates for the past couple of weeks, so I've kind of slowed down my research on COVID. But the actual vaccines are what I want to get into next. And, and I'll research those. Now, monoclonal antibodies is definitely one of the things I want to get into. They've been around for a while. They're produced in labs. The question I have, which I don't have the answer to, is whether or not they have been developed out of fetal material. And I want to also find out if they inject any DNA-altering anything. And I don't know. So these are just some of the questions. And often what happens is I just start reading on it. And I read 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 articles, and all of a sudden I start seeing patterns, and then I know where to go to research other areas. And that's what I often do when I'm studying anything, is I just read until it starts to coalesce and I start seeing patterns. So I haven't done that, and I miss working on the COVID material. But I've got a big debate tomorrow night, and so I'm prepping for that. And then after that, I've got Wednesday night, I've got a talk I'm going to be on online with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and then I got to teach a Bible study on Thursday, and then I'm supposed to go out to another part of the state, probably, in order to hold up signs against the Mormon temple opening. So it's like, okay, what do I got to do? So that's how it is.
Right.
So I'm behind, so I'll probably end up being able to start working on this again on Monday. That's what I'm going to check in. Ivermectin, I'm going to be looking into, monoclonal antibodies, and other stuff. Just see what the treatments are. And so I wish I had better information for you. I just don't right now. But if you find stuff, if anybody finds stuff about these things, send it to info@carm.org. We actually have a special folder. The people who are there put it into a special folder. Then I go into that folder, and I look, and then I transfer that to other subfolders. And then I have subfolders inside of those folders, whether I've looked at it or not, and I've read through it so that I don't repeat the information and waste time. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'll be looking.
Can I ask? You don't have to tell me, of course, but if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. Can I ask what your compromise system issue is? Again, don't feel obligated.
Yes. No, it's okay. I have multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
And also, I have a clotting disorder, factor V Leiden.
Okay.
So, both I know that the COVID shot causes, you know, clotting issues and all that as well. So.
Are you on warfarin and that kind of stuff?
I am not. Fortunately, I am pretty stable as far as my clotting disorder. So that's good.
Well, good for you. And, you know, this is one of the things I've just not heard talked about on TV is what about immune deficiency issues and compromised immune deficiency areas like what you have, like what my wife has. So these are concerns, and I don't hear them being spoken about. So at least, I'm not saying they haven't been spoken, I don't hear it. And I need to find out more about it. All right?
Right, because most of everything you find is about the success rate on how well it works and how it keeps people out of the hospital and helps them recover. But then I'm thinking, okay, that's great, but what else are we going to have to look, you know, what else are we putting through our bodies? So that's where my concern is.
Yep, and if you go to VAERS and look there, you'll find that, at least what I have found, is that the information is being, how do I say this? All the information is not there on reported adverse effects. And I'm hearing all over the place adverse effects being reported. And when I go to VAERS, it's hardly mentioned. So, and this tells me, something's up. And I and the government doesn't realize, and the people don't realize, that when they do this, the people like myself and others stop trusting what they have to say. They stop trusting it. And then they just keep pushing it. So it reminds me of Waco. Waco, Texas, when the Branch Davidian cult was there, that the government started pressuring them to come out and give up their arms and all this stuff, not realizing that they were doing, what they were doing was causing the things that they didn't want to happen. They caused them to have this reaction. And I, you know, I was yelling at the TV, all you got to do is move everybody away and have one vehicle there to watch. They will then calm down and then they'll start talking to you. It's simple. But when people get in power, they don't listen to truth. They don't listen. They react. And I, another thing I have to do is do research on what actually happens on the brain physically, to the brain physically, when people get in power. Apparently, there's an actual alteration of brain chemistry, whatever you want to call it. And people get more and more desirous of power, and they become less able to be empathetic. And so I think this is a problem, and this is something I've never heard addressed with this power, in my opinion, power-mad, hungry rush by the left to be in control. And I guess just there's so much to research, so much. So I'll be working on it.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'll call back in a couple of weeks, and we'll see if I got more information, okay? All right.
Okay, I will. Thank you much.
You're welcome so much. God bless. All right. Well, folks, that was Sarah. And, you know, pray for her and for MS and stuff. There are a lot of people around the country who have compromised health issues. My wife is one of them. I do not want her to take any vaccines because I don't know what they will do to her because of her compromised system. She has a very rare connective tissue disorder that affects a lot of stuff. She's on blood thinners and, you know, medications and other things. And so should she take something that has a potential deleterious side effect? Of course not. But can she get a, so to speak, permissive of passport vaccine card from the the government that tells us where we can go and do? We'll get that, you know, what's going to happen? You know, so, brave new world all over again. And also 1984. If you want to, give me a call. We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call, folks, okay? Joe from High Point, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right.
I have a question.
What do you got?
I'm in discussion with a couple of people about God and the universe, and their argument or their debate is that the universe within itself is its own God and takes care of itself.
Wow, that's blasphemy. Hold on, okay? And we'll, because this is going to be good. We'll get right back after this. Okay, hold on. Hey, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back. And we have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get back on the air with Joe from High Point, North Carolina. All right, Joe. So let's try this again. Go ahead.
Getting into discussions, debates with a couple of different people about God and the universe, and a couple of, or the, both have stressed that the universe itself is pretty much its own God and takes care of itself. And I'm going, no, that's just not the way that it works, and start talking about the Holy Spirit. And they said, well, yeah, you know, the universe talks to me like that too. And I'm going, no, that's not the way it works. And but they're headstrong, and they believe what they believe, and I'm just looking for a way to be able to try to convince them different. Help me here, Matt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What you can do is get some friends and some ski masks and gloves and a van. And you get them into the van. You take them to a secluded place with lots of lights and playing country western music so they can't sleep. And then you repeat to them, the universe is not God. And then, you know, so it took 3 days that they'll be converted. Now, that's one thing, okay? So that's an option.
All right.
Now, if that doesn't work, you can always try this tried and true method called logic. All right. So logic exists because God exists. So I'm not being unbiblical with this, but you know, ask questions. And if I were sitting with a bunch of guys and girls who said, "Well, the universe, you know, it's just a thing; it runs itself; it's its own God," I'd say, "Okay. So then, is the universe self-aware?" Now, if whatever what answer they give me, I have the potential of saying, "And how do you know this?" And if they were to say, well, like your person, one friend of yours did, said, well, the universe tells me things. You say, well, how does this work? How does the universe tell you things? You know, does the universe, which is 93 billion light years across, it communicates to you personally? Does it say, you know, hey, Bob, you know what? I was thinking of the ethereal essence of the quanta, and that you know, we need to make sure that the string theories don't get out of their box. So, you know, what's the universe saying? You got to ask them. And how do they know it's the universe? Because all they have is just subjectivism. Now, there's lots of different ways to tackle this. Go ahead.
One of their arguments was, and I think you're thinking term of universe outside of the world, and I'm thinking that they're thinking universe, just the world itself, within itself, is who's talking with them.
So you have to ask. Always ask definitions. Yeah, it can't be the universe and our world are the same thing. So you always have to ask definitions. You know, describe what the universe is. Is it self-aware? Is it infinitely old? Now, here's some problems with the idea of the universe being, and God and universe.
And you know these people I'm talking about. You've had conversations with them, I'm sure.
Many conversations with people like this. They obviously don't have all their paws in the litter box. Okay? So, say don't. I'd like to say their quantum tunneling isn't. Not many will understand that one. So, here's the thing. When people want to tell me that the universe is alive or communicates or whatever, then you can just start asking questions. Are you making noises back there or something else going on? Are you there?
No, my son's I'm picking him up from football practice. He just got in the car. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And so you want to ask questions. Is the universe, does the universe have a beginning or not have a beginning? It's a real simple question. If it has a beginning, something brought it into existence. If it did not have a beginning, then it's infinitely old. And if it's infinitely old, that's not possible, because it means an infinite amount of time has been traversed to get to now. But you can't traverse an infinite amount of time. There's many issues like this that are problematic for an infinitely old universe. That's one of them, and the issue of entropy is another. But and if they had a beginning, then what began the universe? And whatever began the universe was either personal or not personal. And if it's not personal, it had to have the necessary and sufficient conditions. And when I talk to people like this, I have to find out how much they can understand and how much they're willing to be taught. Because a lot of times people are just not rational at all. And they don't want to hear any facts or logic.
They don't want to hear. Right.
Yeah, they don't want to hear. So then at that point, when they don't want to hear anything, I just ask them basic questions. And how do you know this is true? I just wait. Well, you see, I just kind of feel it. So let me get this straight. You're just saying you feel it, and that's how you know it's true, because you feel it, right? Yeah, that's right. So did anything you felt in your life that didn't go right, that you thought was true, well, you see, and you're putting everything on the line for what you think, your subjective opinion. Do you have anything? And then another thing you could do is say, should I believe what you believe? Now, that's an important question. It sounds like it may not be, but it is. Let me explain why. Should you ask them, should I believe what you believe here? If they say no, well, then if it's true that you believe, then shouldn't I believe what you believe? Because this was true, right? But if you say it's true, you say it's true, but you don't think I should believe it, then why do you want me to not believe what is true? That's not too hard for them to grasp. And then say, you should believe it. So let me get this straight. So you don't have any way of knowing it's true. You just believe it's true. And out of that, you think I ought to follow what you say. See, either way, they can't win. Okay, either way, the argument falls apart for them. So just, you can try that. Okay, there's more complicated ways. But most people don't, you know, when you ask them a question like that, you can see their brains, you know, their gears going, and they just freeze up, lock up, and, you know, you ask them questions, and they say things like, you're stupid, and then I say,
yeah, I've received that one, too, so, yeah, you and your God, you just, y'all think y'all got it all, you got all the answers, got everything dialed in.
That's correct. We have the answers, you don't.
That's correct.
So why should I give up what I have for what you have when you don't have the answers and you want me to believe what you have but you can't demonstrate it's true? So let me ask you, who's being more rational here? Just who's being more rational? It's certainly not you. If I say it, then you like this one thing I said, you know, you don't have all your paws in a litter box. And I say, why should I believe what you got? You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know?
So. All right, man. Well, thank you very much. You've helped quite a bit, as always, and I do enjoy your show. Thank you very much.
Okay, I got a question for you. Are you listening to me on the radio or on the or just on the phone right now?
Radio and the phone.
Because if you tell me your son's name, then I'll say hey to him over the radio, and you can hear it.
Oh, his name's Joey?
Joey. And your name's Joe?
Yes.
Right? Well, then here's a question. Who's the true Joe? You or your son?
I guess because I started it, I would be, right?
Oh, so you're the ultimate Joe-ness. Okay, I'm just checking. Okay, is the sound turned up? And I'll say hi to him. Okay, it's turned up on the radio?
Yeah, it's turned up. He can hear you.
Okay, he Joey. You. Hey, man, I'm waving at you, Joey. Hey, buddy. Hope he's smiling.
Yeah, he is. He's smiling.
All right,
he's
buddy.
He's a 16-year-old, 6'2", 225-pound football player.
Wow. Well, he's got me beat by 2 inches. I'm 64, 6 feet, 220 pounds. So close, but I'm sure he could outrun me.
There you go.
That's right. but I am the true slick because, you know, I can say I'm slick. So, all right.
That's right.
All right, Joes. We'll see you later.
All right, Matt, we'll call again. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Okay.
God bless you.
Okay. All right. Hey, folks, we got nobody waiting. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let me share something with you, a couple of verses. And this is about the issue of the universe and things like that. Here's something that's not really taught very much. But this is Colossians 1:17, talking about Jesus. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That's interesting. And also in Hebrews 1:3, and he is the radiance, that's Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature and upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, those two verses are interesting because it's suggesting that the word is hold everything together by the word of its power. Now, this is interesting because the word of his power, which Jesus is called the word in John 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. And verse 14, the word became flesh among us. Now, when we go to Genesis 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. So God said, that's the word of God, let there be light. That's Genesis 1, 1 through 2. Now I'm going to go back to John 1. In the beginning, this is what it says in John 1, in the beginning, in Genesis 1, in the beginning. Anyway, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. Now notice in Genesis 1, 3, let there be light. The Word spoke, there was light. In Genesis 1, the beginning was the Word. The Word was the light of men. Now, when we go back to Hebrews 1, 3, it says that He upholds all things by the exercise of His word, by the power of His word. Now, the reason this is interesting is because every now and then I'll just watch a bunch of stuff on quantum physics, and I like science, and so I watch that kind of stuff. And it turns out that in the nucleus of atoms, there's protons and neutrons. Neutrons have a neutral charge. There's no charge to them. Protons have a positive charge. Electrons have a negative charge, and they orbit around the nucleus. The protons are positively charged, but you can have more than one proton grouped together, and they stay together. Why is it that they don't repel each other and the nucleus comes apart? It's a question that the physicists have not answered yet. And the things that they propose are things like gluons. Gluons are the things that hold these kinds of things together, because they don't know why the nucleuses don't just explode. There's something else, they say, and we'll figure it out one day. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3, speaking of the Word, remember the Word, by Him are all things, Colossians 1:17, and in Him all things hold together. And in Hebrews 1:3, and He upholds all things by the word of His power. Well, that to me tells me that Jesus, the Word, is the second person of the Trinity. The second person of the Trinity, there was the speaking, I'll say that. The universe came into existence and all matter is held together by the exertion of God's word. What happens when you split atoms? There is an intense heat. And that's what the Bible says. But the day of the Lord come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and earth and its works will be burned up. Could it be, just for fun, that the Word will stop holding all things together, and this is what's going to happen to the universe? Flies apart with intense heat, and remakes the universe with another command. Hey, I'm just thinking out loud. May the Lord bless you. I hope that was entertaining. And by His grace, I'll be back on there tomorrow. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you then. Have a great evening, everyone. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.